You are recording.
All right, we're back in session. We're going to take a little break from the IRs and go to section four, number one. 1937, in regard to Crystal Delano DPM, quarterly appearances required by a consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, take action on information presented. Good morning. You please state your name for the record.
Crystal Delano.
Thank you. And Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's great to see you again, Dr. Delano.
Nice to hear.
Your smile says everything.
Oh, well, thank you. Been busy few weeks.
Tell us, if you would take a minute and tell us about how busy you are.
Well, it's not so much work, mostly personal life. I just came back from San Francisco. My best friend from vet school just got married at the San Francisco Zoo. With zebras behind there. And I was in her wedding, so it was just nice to see her because it's been years since I've been back to that area. So it's just nice to reminisce and get away. And then my goddaughter just turned one yesterday, so we had her birthday party this past weekend after I got off work. So, and then I got scouting and getting ready for December. So just one thing after another.
But wonderful and good
stuff.
Good stuff.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
That's great. Any new medical challenges or interesting cases that you've come across in the last quarter?
No, I sent one down to a specialist that, you know, just kind of racked my brain. I couldn't figure it out. And it's frustrating when you can't figure it out, but that's what they're there for, too. So, but now just been busy, a lot of cases. Now it's arthritis season, so.
I know. Well, you got a glowing reference from Dr. Holcomb once again. And she said that they're celebrating being there 3 years in November.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. And that she hopes you never leave. You can't get a better recommendation than that. So you seem to be doing really well, and that's delightful to see.
Awesome. Well, she's a great boss. I mean, she makes it easy. So. There to do my job, and she appreciates me, so.
And trusts you.
Yeah,
which is wonderful.
Yeah. We make a good team. I mean, there's just two of us, but we make a good team.
Excellent.
And I appreciate her support through all this, so.
You've been doing good, and like I said, I always like the happiness and seeing that. And of course, we're always watching the holidays coming up. These holidays are, they suck. And very stressful. So, like I said, if stress starts coming up and increasing, just use your resources.
Yeah. My parents are coming up for Thanksgiving, so.
Oh, great.
And we're going to have it in our house.
Oh, wow. A lot of cooking.
Yeah. And cleaning.
And cleaning, yeah.
But no, good job.
Excellent. Any other board members have questions? Encouragement? A smile back?
Yes. Absolutely. Smile back.
I always say coasting is really stressful, so I'm like, hopefully your mom cooks.
She's a very good cook.
I'm like, you have
coffee. All right, there's no other questions. Thank you very much for being here today.
Wonderful, thanks.
Sorry you had to drive all the way.
No worries, and we'll see you guys after Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. Enjoy the whole
week. Yeah. See you guys too. See you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ryan.
Do we want to do our phone discussion before we go on with IRs?
Is there anyone on the IRs?
Is what's that, sir?
No.
Oh.
If no one's here with IRs, we might as well go ahead and call Dr. Kaminsky.
Yeah. So let's do that one.
Dr. Kaminsky. It is 6.
Yes, section 4, number 6.
Thank you.
Arizona Veterinary Board. Is Dr. Kaminsky available?
Yeah, speaking.
Hi, Dr. Kaminsky. It's Tracy. I'm going to go ahead and conference you into the board meeting.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so we are on section 4, number 6, in regards to continuing current DVM, discussion with Barbara Kaminsky, DVM, responsible veterinarian at East Mesa Animal Hospital, regarding Dr. Kern's consent agreement and her role at the premises. Board may review, discuss, may review information provided, discuss, and take action. Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Kaminsky, thank you very much for appearing telephonically today. Can you confirm that you are the responsible veterinarian for the East Mesa Animal Hospital and Kennels?
Yes, I am the responsible because I do hold the certification for East Mesa Animal Hospital.
Okay. How many veterinarians are practicing there and who?
Just myself.
Just yourself. Okay, what is Dr. Kern's role and duties at East Mesa Veterinary Animal Hospital and Kennels?
The only responsibility that Dr. Kern has is that she is the owner of the building and the property. Okay, her and I are in the midst of transitioning to where I will be the business owner. Right now, she comes in to collect the money and do any maintenance on the building. She has not been in the building on a daily basis since the end of July, when she had fallen and broken her shoulder. She has no access. She cannot drive, so therefore she does not come in on a regular basis. Since she has fallen, I have only seen her twice in the building, and that was for just maintenance.
Sorry to hear about Dr. Kern's accident. Please wish her a speedy recovery. And so Dr. Kern has not practiced since June 21st of 2021?
No, she has not.
Okay. She has not treated any publicly owned animals?
No.
Okay, okay. Can you, I would like you to reference, and you may not have it handy, the website for East Mesa Animal Hospital that shows that there that under doctors there is only one, and it's Dr. Kern. Would you care to comment on that, since it's been 100 days plus since she quit practicing per the consent agreement?
I do not regularly get on the website, so I did not know that that was still up. So I would need to go to the website. I'm not real computer friendly, so therefore it takes me a while to even try to get onto the website, but I will have somebody going on there and making sure that she is not on there as a practicing veterinarian. I did not realize that that was still up.
Can you make sure that that is done and confirm it with the office within the next 7 days?
Yeah. I can go ahead and do that.
Great. Thank you. I don't have any other questions for Dr. Kaminsky.
I do have a question first for board staff. In the letter dated September 16th, it references the inspection by the board. What day was that?
That was on a Wednesday.
Sorry, we're looking for the actual date. So they have it on records if you don't remember it, but.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I'd have to go back and look at the record to see the surgery book and get the file in order to find out what state that was. I do not.
That's okay. That's okay. Staff's looking right now. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's why it's quiet. But they're going to find out roughly. Well, while they're looking, I'll follow up on my question. But on the inspection on that Wednesday, the staff was told by one of your employees that Dr. Curran was performing technician duties and she was witnessed assisting in a surgical procedure in some way. Do you know what was going on there?
There was a dog that we had on the table, and the only thing that she was doing is just monitoring as far as the anesthesia was concerned.
Okay. And really, the reason I bring that up is I just want you to be aware that as the responsible veterinarian, unfortunately, we've dealt with these kinds of cases many, many times. When a veterinarian has some kind of practice restrictions or they're not licensed in Arizona for some reason, say they have a veterinary degree from another country that's not recognized here, it's very, 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 multiple varies, easy to cross that line into practicing medicine from being a technician. And we see it a lot, and we've sanctioned it before. So I just want you to be aware of the line and make sure that it's not crossed, because unfortunately, you can't be responsible for her actions in that regard, or you can't control her actions, but you are responsible, I'm sorry. So I just want to make sure, like I said, if we're assisting or say scrubbing into a surgery, because it's very easy to grab that person, it's very simple to cross that line into, is that doctor actually performing surgery unlicensed or with restrictions? So I just wanted to kind of bring that up because I was seeing that your staff had seen that, and we have seen people get in trouble for that before. So I just wanted to kind of bring that to your attention and make sure you understood that.
Okay, so the only thing that, as long as you're not practicing, doing surgery, diagnosing, that she did not do.
Yeah, and that's okay. I just wanted to make sure you're aware, because like I said, we have seen cases before, and it's very unfortunate for us to have to hold, let's say, for example, you responsible for another vet's actions. So I just want you to understand, as a responsible veterinarian, if you see something that you're like, that's not right, well, for one, I would just recommend not being put in that position. Two, if you see something, stand up, because ultimately that will come back to you, and you don't want to have a mark on your record for something someone else did, and that does happen. Not uncommonly.
Right. I like to protect my license as often. If I see something, it will not be happening.
All right, good deal. And like I said, if you see something that you're uncomfortable with, you can always report it to us directly, and I would highly recommend that, because again, if we find it out after the fact, without you reporting it to us, then that's going to be a different story, as opposed to you saying, hey, I saw this, I couldn't stop it, I want you to know. So just throwing that out there.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Any of the board members have questions for the doctor? Seeing none, I would say thank you for your speaking with us on the phone today, and we appreciate the updates and the whole picture of what's going on. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's go back and see if we can finish up some investigative reviews. So back on section 2, and we are on case 21-120. Casey, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 21-120 is Connie Dixon, and the respondent is Kelly Chevrolet, DVM. Complainant claimed that she contacted respondent's premises and was advised that her past medical records were destroyed prior to the 3-year mandatory detention schedule. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, we have no respondent, no complainant, nobody monitoring. And Ms. Krieger, you are the lead.
That is correct. So I think when you look at the dates in this case, you'll see that if the complainant had waited a little bit longer, then they most likely would not have filed this complaint. I think they filed it before they had actually received the records. And so we know that, in fact, she did receive the records, but of course was initially told that they had been destroyed. And so at this point, I think she has what she needs. And so I would vote to dismiss this case with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and second to dismiss. Any other discussion? I would just add in that it was within the legal time frame. Any other discussion? Motion on the floor is to dismiss 21-120. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next up is 21-121. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 21-121, the complainant is Anthony Grove and Sherry Coleman. The respondent is Dylan Rubalcaba, DVM, on December 28th, 2020, snow, an 11-month-old female domestic long-haired pet, was presented to respondent for a dental procedure. Dental radiographs were performed and revealed multiple issues, therefore respondent recommended pulling all but three of the cat's teeth when they had approved. After the procedure, the cat walked slowly and was discharged later in the evening for a longer evaluation. The next day, complainant reported the cat passed away during the night. A necropsy was performed and revealed an underlying cardiomyopathy. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
You had no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And no complainant. And Dr. James, you're the lead on this one.
Yeah, so in this case, I mean, in looking at the information that was provided and the fact that this cat, unfortunately, I mean, it's a horrible case, but this cat unfortunately had an underlying condition that can cause slow waking up from anesthesia, death following anesthesia. And, you know, I credit the veterinarian for going through and actually diagnosing that, recommending a necropsy, getting an answer for closure in this case. But I don't see anything that was done that was below our standard of care, and I would make a motion that we support the IC findings of no violations of our practice act or rules.
I'm going to second that and just make the comment that, yeah, this is a horrible condition that unfortunately you don't know about until it's too late in most cases. Medicine is never a 100% guaranteed thing, even on the human side, and there are silent killers on the human side too. So this is just one of those very unfortunate diseases you don't know about, and it rears its ugly head and it's too late. That's just unfortunately a problem with medicine, and that's just technology, and we just can't find these things that easy. So yeah, I'm going to second that. It's just an unfortunate, sad situation, but not a violation.
Motion on the floor and a second. Any further discussion? I would just say ditto on the necropsy and the spinal killer.
Necropsies are amazing.
I had written down in my notes that there was a time bomb. Mm-hmm. And didn't know it was there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, any further discussion? Motion on the floor is to dismiss. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
That motion passes. Next up is 21-122. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 21-122, the defendant is David Andrew Baker, the respondent is Donald Bachman, DGM. On October 27, 2020, Abby, an 11-year-old female Yorkshire Terrier, was presented to respondent for evaluation. The dog had been previously diagnosed with protein losing enteropathy and was on multiple medications. Diagnostics were performed and revealed pain group changes, and the dog's albumin and calcium were worse. The dog was likely not absorbing the oral prednisone well, therefore respondent switched to dexamethasone injectable. During the visit, the defendants reported that the dog was administered carprofen that had been previously prescribed by their primary veterinarian for their other dog. Respondent states that complainants were advised by her staff that an NSAID and prednisone should not be given together. It was respondent's understanding that it was a one-time administration and complainants would not continue to administer. According to complainants, the dog's condition declined rapidly and eventually was euthanized on November 7th. 2020. They contend that respondent did not advise that carprofen was contraindicated with prednisone. The committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
We have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Dr. Wright, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. Going through and reading this, this is just an extremely frustrating case, or complaint, I should say, because basically the complaint is that the complainant gave a medication to their pet that was not prescribed for their pet, was prescribed for a completely different pet. Somehow that's the veterinarian's fault. That is ridiculous. So I don't understand where this complaint's coming from. Everybody knows not to share medications. This is something that's said. It was something I remember watching on Saturday morning cartoons when I was a kid. Don't take someone else's medication. That's a very basic tenet in life. That is not the responsibility of the veterinarian. So I'm going to dismiss this with no violation or make a motion for that.
Second. A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss. Any further discussion? I guess I would throw out there, this is a terminal disease, right? It's not, because they, the owner is talking.
Neuropathy?
Yeah.
I mean, it can be manageable. I mean, you're not necessarily going to pass away from it, but it's a lifelong disease. Yeah, not something you necessarily cure.
Yeah, because you started that initially, the complaint started that initially talking about that they were hoping for remission.
Yeah, you can see good control with it in some cases, but you know.
Well, they weren't.
Yeah.
At any point, I mean, he acknowledged it weren't. So, just trying to blame it on somebody else, thinking that they shortened time when. Probably had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Arbitrary law. All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss 21-122. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. And the case is dismissed. Next up is 21-135. Tracy, would you read this summary, please?
135?
Sorry? No, 123. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, I turned the page to myself.
No problem. Case 21-123, the complainant is Julia Whitson Lake. The respondent was Edwin Diesel, DVM. On August 3rd, 2020, Buddy, a 3-year-old male German Shepherd mix, was presented to the respondent after eating corn material 2 days prior. On August 4th, 2020, complainant was advised that the dog aspirated variant, but would be fine and surgery would be performed the following day. On August 5th, exploratory surgery was performed, corn material was removed, and the dog was discharged on August 7th, 2020. Complainant expressed concerns with the dog's labored breathing, but was advised that it was due to anesthesia and pain medication. On August 8th, 2020, the dog continued to do poorly. Complainant took the dog back to respondent due to the dog's cyanosis and anorexia. Sub-Q fluids were administered. On August 10, 2020, complainant presented the dog to respondent for evaluation and diagnostics. The dog remained with respondent until August 14, 2020. On August 14, 2020, complainant picked up the dog from respondent. Due to the dog's condition, complainant presented the dog to the emergency facility where he is humanely euthanized. The committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act have occurred, and it was moved and seconded to the board to find ARS 3222-32 number 3, misrepresentation of services rendered. Complainant was charged for surgery on the dog that respondent does not recall performing on August 5th, 2020. ARS 3222-32 number 11, malpractice, gross incompetence, and gross negligence in the practice of veterinary medicine. And ARS 3222-32-22, medical incompetence for administering xylazine and giving the dog variant shortly thereafter, not assessing the effects of the variant aspiration, misrepresentation of the dog's prognosis, not performing blood work prior to surgery, no ASA status documented prior to surgery, performing surgery on the dog when using the induction agent ketamine and xylazine only, not intubating the dog and maintaining on a gas anesthetic. ARS 3222-32-12, as relates to R311-5011, failure to provide Curtis verbal interchange by taking the dog to an emergency facility on August 3rd and not informing the pet owner. ARS 3222-32-12, as it relates to R311-5019, for altering or making false statements on the dog's medical record from August 5th, 2020 to August 14th, 2020. ARS 3222-18, as relates to R311502E, failure to provide the pet owner with discharge instructions following surgery on the dog and documenting in the medical record that discharge instructions were provided. ARS 3222-32-19, as relates to 3222-81A1 and 2, for dispensing medication to the pet owner without a prescription label and not documenting the medications dispensed in the medical record. 3222-32-21, failure to maintain any medical records for the dog on August 11th, 2020. 3222-32-21, as relates to R311-502-H1. For failure to obtain assigned authorization to perform surgery on the dog, H2, failure to examine the animal and record the results of the medical record prior to surgery on August 5th, 2020. H3, failure to monitor the dog while under anesthesia and document heart rate and respiratory rate every 15 minutes in the medical record on August 5th, 2020. L4, failure to examine the dog and record the results of the medical record on August 4th, 5th, and 6th, 2020. And L9, for failure to record the radiographs and the results of the radiographs in the medical record. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
We have no respondent, Mr. Stoll monitoring.
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Dr. Wright, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. I've got a lot of questions about going on here. So I think first, if we could make a motion to go to executive session to seek legal advice.
Second.
Motion for a second to an executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes.